down and shut up!
You're listening to Hostage Radio, brought to you by Adobe Radio and Nice Guy Digital. I'm your host, Denny LeClaire, and for the next hour, you're my hostage. Tonight, I'm going to tell you about metal. More specifically, I'm actually going to be telling you about 90s metal. See, this year is a big year in the metal world. There's something really big that's happening. The biggest metal band of all time is calling it quits. Slayer is calling it quits. They're on tour, and when they're done, that's it. And Slayer is that band, if you just say their name, any metalhead's ears perk up and their eyeballs start popping out of their skull and they just freak out over this band. Slayer is like the band. And I think it's really hard to say, you know, this band's the best at this or that. But I think it's almost undisputed that Slayer is the greatest metal band ever. And so them calling it quits is kind of a big deal. And so I started thinking about all the metal music that I grew up listening to. And as I was going through this week, just listening to albums, I started to notice a trend. And it kind of helped me come up with this theme. So at least in the 90s, I mean, we're just going to be playing 90s metal tonight. The first track on the album had to be an attention getter. So either it was like so intense, it was like a sock in the face, or it just had this amazing riff that just hooked you in, or whatever it is. The first track on these metal albums is an attention getter. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to play all first tracks. And these bands, we got 8 bands lined up for you tonight. They are top tier, best metal bands. I mean, these guys are the heavy hitters in metal. And I'm actually really excited. I've been enjoying this week listening to these bands, trying to come up with what album I was going to play a track from. And we're actually going to start out with 4 bands that come up first that are called the Big Four. And they're called that because they're known as the biggest and the best thrash metal bands of all time. First up, off the album, Rust in Peace. This is Holy Wars, The Punishment Due by Megadeth.
We'll be right back.
so that was just the intro. That was a minute and a half. And if you don't think that got your attention, I don't know what will. That riff is just amazing. And the drumming, everything about it is just so intense that it just wakes you right up and makes you want to pay attention. This song kind of has three parts, and we're just about to the second part. This part is kind of known as the Punishment Due. It's Holy War is the Punishment Due. They kind of call this part after this acoustic riff here, the Punishment Due, going into the second part of this song. The first part of the song was just real intense, and the middle one is a little bit more relaxed, and when we get to the third, it'll pick back up again. This is kind of basic, but if you don't know much about Megadeth and Metallica, they're kind of like rival bands. I don't think they really care anymore. They're all getting old, and I don't think they could care less. But during this time, certainly, they were rival bands. Dave Mustaine is the singer of this band and the guitar player, and he had a short-lived career with Metallica. He was part of the original lineup, and he got kicked out before they actually put out their first album, Kill 'Em All. And it was kind of a bitter split. And Dave Mustaine was determined to build a band that would be better than Metallica. And so he started Megadeth. Well, they tried to find a singer that would suit the band, and they really couldn't find anybody to do the job right. And so Dave just kind of said, screw it, I will be the singer. And this is the band that he created to outdo Metallica. And here we go. This is the third part of the song. I love the way this third part of the song starts out. It's just so intense. I mean, I love it. It just really just hooks you back in. This happens to be my favorite Megadeth song of all time. I'm in love with this song. And I can't get enough of it. And it's just a great way to display the talent that Dave Mustaine has. And I mean, if you look at the stuff that they were putting out alongside what Metallica was putting out. I mean, you can say that if you don't think they're better, you could say they're just as good. Megadeth is an amazing talent. I love that band. The next one that's up is the one that started this whole episode. This is Slayer, and this is off the album Seasons in the Abyss, and the first track is called War Ensemble. I don't know if you want to say this was the last great Slayer album, but there's three Slayer albums that are kind of held a little higher than the rest. And of those three, this was the last one. So they're South of Heaven, Rain in Blood, and Seasons in the Abyss. And it's their best work. They're great albums. And I understand that this episode might not be for everybody. Maybe this music just kind of turns you off. But keep in mind, these are incredibly talented bands. I mean, the guitar... this guitar player here, this is Kerry King. He's incredible. And, I mean, as raw and unfriendly to the ear as metal may sound to some people, the talent that goes along with it is mind-blowing. The drumming, the guitar players, it's crazy. And one thing that I'm reminded of when I think about Slayer is I watch, you know, YouTube videos and interviews with bands and just a lot of stuff on the internet a lot. And one day I stumbled across a video from a channel that was called, I think it's called Kids Interviewing Bands. I don't know if any of you have ever seen that. But basically the premise is you get these two young girls, probably, you know, 10, maybe younger in some of the videos, to be honest. And you pair them up with these rock stars. And it kind of puts the artist out of their element. I mean, think about it. When you're talking to, you know, somebody from Rolling Stone or Kerrang or whatever, you're going to be talking about, you know, the music. Well, these kids come up with questions like, you know, what's your favorite dessert? Or, you know, just innocent questions. And Tom Araya, that guy you hear screaming right there, is now much older. He kind of looks like this old grandpa. He's got this gray beard in it. He talks to these little girls, and it's kind of just like he melts into this adorable grandpa. And it's so funny because his day job is the front man for the most notorious metal band of all time. And he's talking to these girls, and, you know, he kind of leans in and, like an old grandpa, and he says, "Well, honey, you know, that's an interesting question." And he's just so sweet with them, and it's just really funny to see him out of the element that I'm used to seeing him in. We'll be right back. So that is Slayer. And that song that you heard, I mean, that is why they are known as the greatest thrash metal band of all time. That song is thrash. I mean, that's the definition right there. In case you weren't sure of what that means, that real fast beat where it's just, you know, constant battering on your eardrums. That's thrash metal. Next up, we have Anthrax. This is off Attack of the Killer Bees. First track on here is called Milk. Just like the Slayer song, this is a great representation of a thrash song. And again, first track, a sock in the face. It's just great. And it's a cover. Actually, this whole album, Attack of the Killer Bees, is kind of just like a compilation of B-sides, you know, unreleased and rarities and covers. And this is a cover of SOD. And it's called Milk, and it's kind of a ridiculous song. I mean, the song is about a guy that wants a bowl of cereal, and he goes to the fridge to get some milk, and there isn't any milk, and he gets really mad about it. That is the whole premise of this song. But the funny thing is, the song rips, and it's so good that you don't even notice how ridiculous this song is. The fourth band in the Big Four is maybe not the best band, but undoubtedly they are the most successful of the Big Four. This is their first track. Okay. Now that was five notes. And even if you're not a metal fan, I guarantee you, you've heard that. And you could probably say, even if you don't know the name of the song, you know the song. And that's going to kind of prove my point here. As a first track attention getter, maybe this one doesn't rip like some of the ones before that we've played, but it certainly did the job of getting attention. It is probably their most recognizable track on their most popular album. This is Metallica's self-titled album. This is Inner Sandman. Okay, actually, there's one more thing I want to say. those drums, when they come in right there, you can hear them because there's not a whole lot of other guitars or anything happening. The drums on this album, what they did is they tried to capture the sound of a live drum. And so they actually got rid of some of the sound deadening in the room so that they could have this kind of echoey live performance sound with these drums. So when I turn it back on, pay attention to the drums, because that sound was intentional and they actually had to put in a little effort to get it, and I think it paid off. So this is how this album starts out, and it's a great song. I mean, it's a definitely attention getter. I may happen to like the albums that come before this more, but regardless, this is a great song. And Metallica is kind of a special band to me because it's the first concert I ever went to. After this album, they put out an album called Load. And when they did a tour for that album, I went to see them, and that was my first concert. And this was back when you had to be waiting by the phone, and when tickets would go on sale at 10 a.m., you had to call Ticketmaster to try to get your tickets. And my best friend at the time's mom called in at 10 a.m. to get the two of us tickets. And the first concert I ever went to was second row and center at a Metallica show. And I'll never forget it. It was amazing. I remember catching a pick, and I caught a stick. I caught some random person's shirt, and it was awesome. And the funny thing is, I feel like sometimes Metallica can kind of come off a little bit corny, if that's fair to say. I don't want to say that they're not a legitimate band, but sometimes they do some things that might seem a little lame. For this concert, they were running advertisements on television, and they showed this concert where, like, the lighting rig, like, crashed on the stage, and, like, there was a fire, and, like, just everything was falling apart, and you watch, and you're like, geez, like, what, is this every Metallica show like this? Well, as it turns out, they are. Because when I went to the concert, the exact same thing happened, and it was all staged, and they make it seem like, you know, when the lights fell and there was a fire, and then the lights or the electricity goes out in the stadium, and then, you know, you get the band coming out playing an acoustic set because there's no lights, but then when that's done, the lights happen to come back, and you know, it's all good and we're back to Metallica. So it was a little interesting because it's my first concert, so I didn't have any real expectations, but I certainly did not expect to see the same concert I saw in the commercial. And I did think that was a bit corny, but it was cool. I mean, they had, you know, pyrotechnics and the music was great. Everything up until that point, you know, Metallica was great. They had a couple questionable albums after that, but I actually feel like the last album they put out, that Hardwired to Self-Destruct, I thought that was pretty good. And I was happy to hear them doing some really great music again. But yeah, that's a really special one for me. Another special band, one of my favorite metal bands actually, is this one. And I think it's okay to say if there was a big five, these guys would be number five. They started out as a thrash metal band just like the other four. Then they kind of transitioned into a more of a groove metal sound. But they also have their own sound that is completely unique. And they have I guess you could call it like a tribal sound. This is the first track off Chaos AD, one of the greatest Sepultura albums. So these guys are from Brazil, and that's where they get their tribal flair. I love it. I love the tribal sounds. And later in their discography, it starts to come out a little more, especially the album after this. It's called Roots. I mean, the album is amazing. But Max Cavalera is the singer. Their drummer's name is Igor Cavalera, the Cavalera brothers. Incredible talents. And Max ended up leaving the band after the album that came after this one. And they ended up having a new singer come in. It's actually kind of a crazy story. So Max was in London, and his son ended up dying while he was away. And I can't remember who it was, but somebody else's wife from the band, somebody's wife, tried to bury their son before he got back. I mean, what? Like, I don't even understand how that's even a thought. And obviously that didn't go over well. And Max was upset. And then the band tried to get rid of his wife's, replace his wife. His wife was doing some work as a manager or something like that. Like, she was doing stuff for the band, and they wanted somebody else to come in because they thought she was focusing too much on him and his career. And so they wanted to get rid of her. And at that point, Max just had it. And he's like, I just can't deal with this anymore. And he left. And they replaced the singer. Ever since then, I've kind of lost my love of Sepultura. I love everything up to and through the Roots album. But I kind of lost it with the transition of a new singer. I mean, Max is Sepultura. And later on, Igor Cavalera, Max's brother, the drummer, ended up leaving as well. And now I think they're down to like the only original Sepultura member, I think, is like the bassist. I mean, the band is just a shell of what it used to be. But at this time, Sepultura was one of the greatest metal bands. I loved them. And another interesting side note, in the beginning of this song, you could hear a heartbeat. Here, I'll play it again for you real quick. That sound right there, that is actually Max's son. He was unborn, and that was his heartbeat. His name is Zion, and he actually plays drums for Max in his newer band called Soulfly. So this one is a punch in the face. It's not a punch in the face. This is the uppercut that shatters all your teeth. This is from the album Far Beyond Driven. It's the first track. It's called Strength Beyond Strength. This is Pantera. Perhaps one of the only bands that has a story crazier than the one I just told you about Sepultura. The singer's name is Phil Anselmo. And about this time in their career, he messed up his back pretty bad. And there's actually a song on this album called I'm Broken, which is about that. And he started taking pain medication. And to deal with the pain and everything else that was going on, he was taking drugs, which transitioned into heroin. And, I mean, you can see it. If you go back and just look at him, pictures of him, or interviews, you can see him falling and the addiction just kind of taking over. Well, this band ended up breaking up, and Phil went his way, and pretty much the rest of the band went the other way. This band has two brothers as well. You have Daryl Lance Abbott and Vinnie Paul Abbott. Vinnie Paul and Dimebag Daryl is what they go by. Vinnie Paul's the drummer, and Dime was the guitar player. So they were playing a show with their new band, and a guy came out on stage, went up to Dime, and shot him and killed him. And this happened in front of an entire audience, and a lot of people thought that Phil, the singer, had something to do with this, like he was holding a grudge. And they believed it so much that Phil was specifically not invited to the funeral of Dimebag. And it could be something as crazy as, you know, some deranged fan who was mad about it. Nobody knows. But something that struck me is, while I was thinking about the song and showing it to you, if you think about how that played out, so the guitar player was shot. I told you his brother is the drummer. Well, how does the drummer sit, you know, on the stage? They're facing out at the rest of the band, and they're behind, basically, you might as well call that drum kit a barrier. They can't move. And so the craziest part of the story to me is Vinnie Paul's positioning, where he's drumming and he has full view of what happened and couldn't do anything about it. It's just a tragic story. He was known as one of the greatest guitar players that ever lived. I mean, on a lot of great guitar player lists, especially in metal, Dime was right at the top. I mean, he was in the top 10. He was amazing. And he was taken from us too soon. This song is not only a first track, it's their first album. So in other words, it has to be an attention getter, because this is the first song you're ever going to hear by this band. The album is called Burn My Eyes. The song is called Davidian. And the band is called Machine Head. That intro is so amazing. So it was just a little over a minute, but then the intro, you know, it built into this double bass drum that just continued all the way up until the chorus. It's just awesome. The drumming in this song is amazing. I love it, and it just really gets your blood pumping.
Freedom!
so after that high energy song, it kind of lets you down easy with this end. It's just kind of a groove metal headbanger type flow with a great riff. And this is just going to continue until the song's over. These guys are on tour, by the way. If you're looking for something to see and you're into this, I mean, this is their first album. This was in 94, I want to say. And they put out several albums since then and have just gotten better. But I'll never forget the first time I popped this in and heard that track and thought, I just found my new favorite metal band. This next band is another huge 90s metal band. And the singer is a little bit eccentric. And he puts on big shows, lots of costumes, and he's really into like old horror movies. And later in his career, he started making movies. This is White Zombies, Electric Head, Part 1. The Agony.
Perhaps you had better start from the beginning.
So Rob Zombie is really into like old horror flicks, and a lot of times he would use audio tracks from old movies. This one is from The Curse of Frankenstein, which is from the 50s. But when the song is kind of starting out here, it's just kind of gives you this real eerie vibe. The organ and just the weird back and forth playing in your head with the just different sounds. And it's a pretty cool way to start. And it's going to come in just with this killer riff. And it just is the definition of a good groove metal song. So this album is called Astrocreep 2000. This was the last White Zombie album before Rob went off and just started doing his own thing under his own name, Rob Zombie. And I feel like the hook in this song, that riff is just so good that you can just bounce your head through the whole 5 minutes of this song. It's just awesome. It's just so catchy. And I love Rob Zombie. I like he's always got that effect on his voice, that little distortion, but it sounds just very full and big. And it's another great way to start off an album. And I kind of like in the beginning how it says, you know, that clip that he used from Curse of Frankenstein, you know, perhaps we better start from the beginning. It's just kind of there's just a cool flair to that. I mean, you know, it's just kind of putting his fingerprint on this album, and I love that. That's a great song. And I think that's all the time we got for today. And I hope that you got punched in the face 8 times over with those killer tracks. I love metal. I love 90s metal. And I love these bands. Every one of those bands is top tier 90s metal bands. And with the exception of Slayer doing their final tour, they're all still out there playing. You can see all these guys. And you should, because it won't be too long before another one of these bands calls it quits. A lot of these guys have been around since the 80s. They're getting older. So if you heard something you like, go see one of these shows before I do another show talking about another one of the greats calling it quits. Thank you for listening with me tonight. And don't forget, if you heard something you like, tell one of your friends. My favorite thing is when people send me tweets during the show. I love to interact with you guys. I love to hear what you have to say. And it really makes doing the show worth it. So to those of you that have been doing that, and especially those of you who've done it tonight, thank you. And if you're not, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Hostage Radio. My name is Denny LeClaire, and you've been listening to Hostage Radio.